Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest up is our ACE reporter, Phil Sharkey of the Higher Authority. Welcome, Phil.
Good morning, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having me today. I look forward to our segment here to go over what we previously talked about. And I'm going to discuss, Jonathan, what goes into a full background check, as many people have these misconceptions of what a background check consists of. So hopefully in our time frame here, I can sort of lock it right in for you and all the listeners.
Excellent. Would it make sense to just frame, you know, when people do background checks as opposed to a full background check, as opposed to what might be considered a less complete background check?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for posing that as well. And also the timing of it. And I tell people for the cost involved, don't do the background check on everyone that walks through the door for the job. Wait to send to me until you narrow it down to the two or three candidates that you think are best for the job. Then use the cost of our services to sort of lock in who you want for that position. It's not just the negativity, which, and again, I do surface 30% turn out fraudulent. Sometimes a background check can be favorable for the last two or three candidates, and it might just direct the person into the one they really think is best suited for the position. And again, I know through Radio Entrepreneurs, we have different recruiting firms, et cetera. That's not us. We work directly for the client. And I think our goal is, when you do have good people, is to really identify, sometimes the background check can really lock in who's the last person that is left standing is best for the job. And to your point is regarding the position, it's also a valid point. We do different layers of background checks. Sometimes the lower level positions, it may just consist of a criminal check right up to the top ranked positions, which will be much more in depth than a full background check, which could go over quickly.
Excellent. I was going to say, let's run through the elements of what a full background check consists of.
Sounds great. The first thing is, and everyone gives me this, I am a licensed private investigator. I have done a lot of work, as one would envision, out there in the field. That's not this. Everything's above board. We always have a signed release and authorization. I can't conduct any services without the release and the consent of the individual. I even had a client the other day said he can't get the form to you. He says, okay, it's in the body of this email. Not good enough for the FCRA and what oversees our industry. We need that release form in-house with the signature, and then I can go. What do we do?
I would imagine that's also sometimes an indicator when people start balking about returning releases.
An outstanding point. And again, I'm not into, obviously I'd like to be rich in a billionaire, but I'm not into just taking my clients' money. I often tell them that let the person know that a background check is going to be conducted. Many times, Jonathan, you'll get that, as you just stated, let me go get my resume. You hear the tire screech in the parking lot and they're out of there. Most people with a horrific past, once they know the company has a program in place, they're not going to mess around. So even without spending a dollar, you save yourself a lot of money. And it's a great point that you pose, where once you have a program in place, you sort of let the people know that no shenanigans are going to be conducted. We're not out to harm everyone. Everyone has a clause, as we say, and something surfaces. It's the people that are really fraudulent, the people that are coming in to scam you and scam your listening audience, and they're professional at it. And once they know you have a program in place, it sort of sends them on their way.
And it's pretty amazing. I don't want to just gloss over the statistic that you threw out there at the beginning, which is 30%. It's a pretty staggering number that roughly 30% of all background checks turn something fraudulent up.
It really is. After 30 years in the industry, 25 years owning my own company, it still blows me away. And I like to point out to people that's 30% of applicants who know you're going to conduct the background check. Not if we randomly just went out in the parking lot at your offices there and grabbed 10 people and three came back bad. These are people that look at you and say, John, yeah, okay, let me sign off. Here you go. Here you go. Best of luck. And they know their history. That's the number that really shocks me. And it gets me juiced up to do my job every day, and our staff here to do our job every day.
It sort of likens me to that, that, you know, invariably when something horribly goes wrong and they news cameras go and interview the neighbors and they say they were such a nice person. Everybody on the surface is.
You're so right on point. It takes me back all the time. And like, who knew? It's like, well, they knew, but it's always us that, and again, I've talked to the other people there at your company about, it's not the ones you see walking through the door that smell of booze or something. It's the ones that look right at you and shake your hand and say, Jonathan, I'm ready to go. Put me in charge. And they make a great impression. I've had many clients with an office manager tell me, Phil, just rush this one through. This one is golden. And it comes back with 10 records from Maryland or something. And they're like, I mean, those are the ones that really you know, make it worthwhile.
There's a reason that psychiatrists have a label called sociopath. There's a lot of them out there.
It is. It's a great point. And we actually have one refuse company that sends over, we do just drivers for them. So it's a criminal and driving record background. And they have a class before and they tell them 30 at a time, let us know now. If you have a problem, the fact you made it this far is good. Go fix it. And they always nod and say, it's fine. Go ahead. And every time, Jonathan, they send it, a third come back without a license, suspended for 2 years. And much like we're talking now, I wonder what's going on up there? Do they just think it's going to be okay?
It doesn't apply to me, you know, it's somebody else. Right?
Yeah, they're going to check everybody. They're going to check every other one, but it blows me away. So
excellent. So let's talk about the details of what a full background check is.
Yeah, and just quickly, because it could go on to be very involved, but a full background check for me to get a good job for my clients is we start with a social security number trace. In our business, it's called a skip trace. We verify the socials valid. As you can imagine today, you know, great workers, a lot of socials aren't valid, whatever term you want to use. Not a legal alien, but they're undocumented. That's a problem. But the best thing I get is address history. Most times I have a criminal record. It's not where they live, it's where they used to live. And I have a lot of clients tell me, well, I'll just ask them. And as you know, as I can imagine you grinning a little bit, if I have a record in Rhode Island, I'm not going to tell you I've ever been to Rhode Island. So without their help, we get their 7 to 10 year address history. Outstanding. And that's where stuff surfaces. Educational verification. Huge area. I just had one last month. They said they went to Northeastern with two words. I get this a lot. It's Northeastern. Probably a good indicator, not to deputize you and make you an investigator, but right away I had inklings that we may have a problem. So a lot of false educational claims. They even send us the degree because I always work for the applicant as well. And I'm mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, if you paid Northeastern, 40, 50, 60 grand a year for 4 or 5 years, I'll become your advocate. I'll get on the phone with the registrar and you, and we'll get this right for you for the future. And they'll send over sometimes fake degrees and things we make on our computers today, which are outstanding. Mm-hmm. And you know, people really contest that right to the end. Like, and I always tell them, go just pull that thing off the wall and I'll become your advocate instead of your enemy here and I'll work for you. And it tends to be, we find out usually they're 3 credits short or say, well, I didn't really graduate. And there's the rub. I'm like, well, then you really can't say you're a graduate.
Right.
Big part of our job is employment verification, 5 or 10 years. And here's where we separate us from the large screening companies. We're just better, not to throw that out there, but we have only senior level investigators doing the work. We speak to human resources to get exact information. And we talk to supervisors. The first question I get from HR people is, well, my staff doesn't talk. Yeah, they do. If I get them on the phone and say, hey, I'm going over Jonathan's job application, they put you down as a reference. Right away, they'll go like, oh yeah, John, you know, we got a policy, but oh, what a guy. Or they'll say, Jonathan put me down as a reference. Are you kidding me? He was never in on Fridays, you know, and right away it takes us different ways. And that's where extracting information is key and a lot of negativity. Criminal records, we've talked in the past about that. It could be county, it could be state, it could be federal, it could be national, all very valid. And a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of criminals out there. And it's not that you're a criminal. I get a lot of pushback from people. They deserve jobs too. But on job applications where they check off never convicted, so now you have a criminal and a liar. What I'm trying to find is people who falsify. And that's where we really have a leg to stand on. And finally, Jonathan, the last two areas in a general check is sex offender, local and national. As you can imagine, that's a serious area to check. And driving record, which many people go, well, who cares if it's an office position or a person in the office, just not a driving position. Who cares is because 10% that we check come back without a license. So even though it may not be a driving position for your company, they're breaking the law every day that they're driving. And if they get pulled over and stopped, they're not going to be in that day because they're going to impound the vehicle. They're going to have a long walk and a lot on their plate. And it really shows me an indicator as to what we have here, where you can't even keep your license in order and you're going to do whatever for my company or for my clients. It's a huge indicator for us. We really like that search. And it's national. So if you have a DWI in California or Florida, it's going to show in your mass license history. It's a great search.
So you touch a lot on indicators, and obviously a big part of you guys' job is to unearth the pieces, and a good investigator goes deeper and deeper in the hole, or broader and broader, depending on how you look at it. Just give us a sense of context when you talk about a full search. What kind of time frame are we talking about from start to finish generally?
Yeah, great question, Jonathan. Here's where we beat the national average. We do a 2 to 3 day turnaround time. So
wow.
Very important that my clients they identify the person they want and they don't want to lose them. It's a competitive world today, obviously with the COVID, they think they have the right person. They don't want to lose them and they may be losing money because they have a position to fill. So it has to be fast. I always tell everyone in the industry, great information late is useless. So I have a lot of our national competitors are 7 to 8 days. I just got a car dealership from Maine to come on board. They were using a national company and they were waiting 7 to 8 days for their turnaround time. I said, if you're not getting 3 days like we do, then something's going wrong. They don't care about your work. They have either too much work or they don't care because it can be done in 3 days if you do it properly and quickly. So that's really important.
Well, that's a really impressive in the context because as you said, you know, a good candidate is gone quickly or has multiple offers and multiple opportunities. And if you guys can't, come back with your reporting in a reasonable time frame, there's no value to the client. So that's great to know.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are things, especially with the COVID, some obviously the courts had closed for a while, things that extended, but we send our report out and we'll explain if there's a problem. The degree from Northeastern is pending further review. It's someone older like me, born in the 60s, and they have to do a paper record search. So it's not our fault. We're on it, but you have your initial report and you can make your decision from that, realizing there's a common sense reason as to why things are delayed.
That's fabulous, Phil. And, I think we could probably dig into each one of these areas and talk a little bit more about it. And I know you want to share with us a celebrity story, as you always do, and tell us a little something that you found in your...
I do, Jonathan. I'm glad you asked. I happen to have one today. And for our financial people, as I know it's a big part of our viewership here, this was Wall Street analyst Jack Grubman. And he at one time was the former Salomon Smith Barney's analyst, and he was the highest paid analyst with a salary of $20 million per year. God bless him. It was uncovered, unfortunately, that he never graduated from MIT as he claimed, but rather only attended Boston University, both great schools. But he had been going around saying he was an MIT graduate since the beginning of time. In an interview regarding it in Business Week, he said that he lied. He flat out admitted, I did lie. He felt insecure regarding his educational history, which again, Jonathan, most people, there's a reason for the lie, but when you're making $20 million a year and what he must have handled, one lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie. I surely would be very hesitant about him investing for me. So that's our celebrity.
That's a great one. And I imagine there's so many of those. For $20 million a year, I wonder why you don't go out and get all the tutors you can to get you through that degree.
Absolutely. Backpack it and make it right. So it's a very curious thing. And what we find is like once someone sells it, they actually believe it. They probably would pass a lie detector test because they actually convince themselves that they have this degree and it's not so.
Great insight. Great information as always, Phil. Really appreciate you on. Phil Sharkey of the Higher Authority has been our guest and our reporter. Phil, if people want to reach out to you and talk to you about the services that you provide, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Thank you, Jonathan. Right on the web, it's hireauth.com, hireauth.com. Our number, and again, this separates us as we have human beings answering the phone. You don't have to punch in names, letters, et cetera. You always get a call answer, and it's 508-230-5901. Or email me directly at psharkey@hireauth.com and I'll get right back to you.
That's fabulous. Really appreciate it. Great segment, Phil, and wonderful to learn more about the work that you guys do. Good work that you do over at the Higher Authority, and look forward to having you on the next segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate it. Have a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.